When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So I had it over the course of the holidays and the new year. There were a few things, you know, things that go on that I just think, oh, I got to remember to talk about that. Yeah. As like a little opener. And now I'm trying to figure out which one to choose. So I think I'm going to go with this one. My poor mom. I think we've talked about this before on the show, the cat, my mom's cat.
Yes, your mom's the cat carrier. You
yes,
were too
old for this. Or too
no,
famous.
You were too famous,
famous
you were
for
too famous to carry
of those
the cat
things,
carrier.
Yes. Too famous. And, you know, when I was about 22, I can't even remember when, 22 or 23, and I had just started pulling animals out of the pound, I stole that cat from the pound. And I don't know if you've ever been to the pound. I was able to steal the cat from the pound, but it's kind of a messed up system. So, like, they'll do things where they're like, oh, you can't adopt the animal because we don't know if the owner's going to take it and there's, like, a litter of street cats there. Or, oh, you know, you got to come back on this day to adopt the animal and the animal will be just euthanized. Or they get parvo and distemper. Or they get a bunch of diseases in the pound. So I tried to adopt this poor little kitten was like reaching through this thing screaming and I was trying and they were like, no, that cat. Anyway, to make a long story short, I stole her, flat out stole her. I like to think of it as a good act of sociopathy. You can judge me if you want. That's fine. I was much younger and I would probably do it again today if I wasn't able to pay for her, as in they wouldn't allow me to. But this is not what this is about. So I was really young. I adopted this cat and you know, when you're 22, I think I was 22, you know, life takes a bunch of different turns. Sure. And I ended up in a situation where I had to move in with a roommate because one of my roommates just had an issue and had to go back home to England and all this stuff. And I had to find a roommate because I didn't have any money. I didn't have a dime. I couldn't afford the apartment by myself. I was on the lease. It was going to mess up my credit. And I could only find a friend that could move in right away that had a big dog. And I was now probably 27, maybe 28. And my mom, I didn't have any money because I was working at ICM at the time. It was the brief period where I wasn't training because I was about 27. And my mom, who never bails me out of anything, you know, my mom is very much like, no, these are your choices. Right. And I love you. I'm here for you. I'm always going to be your mom, but I'm not going to bail you out of your choices. You know what I mean? And which I don't disagree with at all. For some odd reason, took the cat. I don't know why. And I was like, Mom, is there any way, like, until I can kind of figure out a different living situation, you know, you could watch the cat? And she did, which is just bizarre. My mom is just not one of those moms that's like, oh, you made a big mess. Let me go in and fix it all for you. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I think she realized that, like, I had had the cat for, you know, 4 or 5 years. Like, it wasn't that it just, you know, I was put in a situation, but, and I think she realized it wasn't that I just screwed up. And my mom's an animal lover. And anyway, she took the cat. To make a long story short, when the time came that I could have taken the cat back, my mom was like, you're not.
You're not.
Don't. This is not your cat anymore. Don't even think you're taking this cat. And so now I'm 40, and that was 12, 13 years ago. And my mom has had this cat ever since.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, my mom, some people have that animal, like that little animal soulmate, you know, and we've all, I'm an animal person. My mom's an animal person, but we all have that one animal that was just there at a certain time in our lives. And is like our little animal soulmate. And Baxter was my little animal soulmate because I lived alone with him through thick and thin, my little chihuahua. And was your, do you think Ellie was, or do you think you get, you have equal appreciation for Ellie and Millie?
Yeah. I love that you remember their names. That makes me very happy. I think they're equal now because Millie's stepping in a different era of my life.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's hard for me now to have that relationship with a dog, I think, because I, you know, went straight from losing Baxter and I rescued a bunch of dogs, but then there was Heidi and then there was a couple dogs and now there's Heidi and three dogs and kids. So I don't have that, like, me and you,
bond.
I love my dogs, you know, incredibly, but it's not the same as it was with Baxter when it was just like me and him, and I went through horrible breakups and I got fired and I, you know, all this horrible stuff. And my only little companion was my little dog. So anyway, my mom, to make a very long story short, has just lost her cat. And, dude. And, the cat was 17. The cat's had an amazing life. And we've all known this was coming. It was like, dear God, help. You know, this is on. Because she's just an old cat.
Yeah.
And
she was getting her health. I mean, health issues with your mom's cat was starting to happen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, like, no. She had cancer, stomach, intestinal. Oh. And it just, dude, it happened overnight. My mom was like, Sunday she was fine, and Tuesday she was dying.
Yeah.
And a couple of, you know, so I went with my mom, and we put the cat down, which is just horrible. And, you know, it was interesting because I thought, oh, I started this whole thing for this cat, and I'm here on the day it's going to end. And so many different things came up for me. But my mom, my poor mother was just destroyed. And it makes me sad to think about her being so heartbroken. But it's interesting how I found myself telling her all of the same things that she's told me in my life when tragedies have occurred. And it's not that she doesn't know, but sometimes you need to hear it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I'm at my mom's house, and I went and got a bunch of food for her. And I looked around, and I mean, it's like, you know, you open the pantry to put the food away, it's cat treats, cat this, cat that. On the fridge, it's like the cat medication directions. In the bathroom, it's, you know, guest bathroom, it's like the cat litter box. So I'm just like, oh my God. So I'm like, Mom, I'm going to take the cat stuff. And if it's okay with you, you know, she's like, I want to call her, I want her bed. And I was like, I'm going to take it to a shelter. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that would be good. And I realized the two things, and this is not just about losing an animal, it's just about transmuting this tremendous grief into like a strength, a wisdom, a depth, an empathy, and like how we get through these things. And the two things that she had told me whenever I've been through something like this, and we've talked about it sort of tangentially at different times on the show and in the live show, we talked about it, but you know, how do you get through a tragedy? You bring a meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I lost my little dog Baxter, I was like, I'm not going to let this happen for no reason. The dog wasn't old. He absolutely vanished from my house.
Yeah.
The mystery of a lifetime. To this day, I hope when I die that if there's a tunnel, someone in the tunnel tells me what the hell happened to my dog.
Maybe Baxter.
Yeah, I know. Honest to God, it was the strangest. So when
it was so painful for you.
Well,
I mean,
he just
to
vanished.
To not.
Like, yeah. I thought maybe a hawk got him off my balcony. Yeah. Like, he was there at 7:04, and at 7:14, he was gone. Could not figure it out. Did someone open a door? Like, anyway. I was like, I'm going to adopt, you know, this many animals over time, and I'm going to make sure that they live because I lost my dog. And my mom had given me this book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And this man was a Holocaust survivor, and he was one of the fathers of modern psychotherapy. And he talked about, and it's been a long time since I've read this book, but it was, you know, how did some people survive that Holocaust mm-hmm. after losing their entire family, being, you know, being demoralized and just seeing the starved and abused and seeing the most disgusting, horrible acts of humanity at its worst. Like, how did they survive it? And the key he talked about was bringing a meaning to things. And, you know, we think, oh, what's the meaning of life? And in reality, you can say Jesus and you can say your God or your Buddha, whoever your God is. But that's sort of different. It's while I appreciate your relationship with your God, and that's important, and I have my relationship with my interpretation of God as well, this is way more literal about what meaning are you going to bring to your life?
Yes.
Not, you know, do you love God and this and that and the other, and it's different. What are you going to do with your life, and what meaning are you going to bring to the things that happen in it? And so we talked about that, about how can she, my mom was like, she was ruined. And I was like, Mom, you know, the cat had an amazing life. And because you lost this cat, there's another pet out there that's in a pound right now that, you know, has a whole life ahead of it and will hopefully live because you're going to take this animal in and give it a life. And, you know, and it's interesting. My mom knows all this stuff. She's taught me all this stuff, but being able to tell it to her, it's so interesting to me how this information in the family gets passed down. And she's like, I know. And she knows it's hard to focus on that now while she can't even think about bringing another animal in. And then another thing that my mom had taught me, when something like this happened, I'd lost a friend, and my mom, I was like, how is this going to go? Like, am I just going to get older and more people are going to die? And, you know, it was is this as good as it gets kind of thing? Right. Like, and my mom was like, ultimately life is about connection, and it's important to continue at every stage in your life to form new connections. Mm-hmm. And I reminded her of that as well. And that is really, I mean, at the end of the day, what are we really here for? I mean, what are you going to take with you? Your connections and the relationships that you've had with other beings, furry or feathered or otherwise, human, etc. And so I wanted to bring this up again and just say, if you're going through a tragedy of any kind or a loss of any kind, remember those two things. Think about how you can give this loss, this tragedy, this failure, this setback a meaning. What can you learn from it? And how can you use it to bring good in the world? And I've referenced other stories like this before, like John Walsh, who lost his son and then started America's Most Wanted and saved millions of lives because he lost his own son. Mm-hmm. He did all this good work in the world and helped so many. That's a perfect example. And it allows you to tolerate it. It allows you to carry on. And this way it doesn't feel like, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Because I think we've all been in that very nihilistic place of, why do bad things happen? Where is God when these tragedies are occurring? Not the loss of an old cat, but a child dies, you know, things that are just can't be reasoned with, can't be rationalized, that are so awful and so unfair, and the world is unfair. I've come to this place of realizing, in my own sort of relationship with my own God, I think the world is unfair because we're given an opportunity to make it more fair. I think that's part of the lesson. When the world is unfair, what can you do to make it more fair? How can you fight the good fight? How can you help that person that didn't get the fair shake and spread out the love and the abundance so it becomes more fair? How can you take these tragedies and make them count? Give them a purpose. Give them a meaning. I think that's our lesson. I've decided that is why the world is unfair, and that is why these bad things happen. And it's our job to learn how to transform pain, suffering, and loss into light, love, empathy, depth, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and allow this tragedy to bring true goodness in the world in the long run.
Right.
Or your loss. Like losing a 17-year-old cat's not a tragedy. It's just a sad, sad, sad loss. And subsequently, how do we continue to fulfill and nourish our own spirit with new connections? New connections. And that's really all I wanted to bring up, was just to drive those two points home for anybody that might be going through something right now. Those are the things that have always carried me through those darker times.
Mm-hmm. I think it's lovely that you were able to remind your mom of the information she gave.
I know.
Grief, it's like hearing white noise. You know, it's just that of pain. So you can't think, you can't put together. And so it's lovely that you were able to, she knows, but
she knows, reminder.
Yeah, she needs to hear it. And sometimes I think we take for granted that, oh, they know that. Like, especially with your mom, because she's a shrink. She's a doctor. So you go, oh, she knows that. But you know what?
Sometimes
at the moment,
just need to
hear doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so dark sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think she just, you know, plus these things bring up other losses. You know, they remind us of other people we've lost.
Yeah.
My aunt was there, and I can't believe I forgot this. My aunt lost her husband. I cannot believe it. It was such a long time ago. And she was like, you know, when I lost Ed, who was my aunt, and I was like, holy cow, Jill. It was like 15, 17 years ago or something. It was a long time ago. But I remember just wondering how she got through that. And, you know, it brought up all that stuff for my aunt.
Sure.
It brought up losing, you know, friends and animals for me. It's grueling.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw out that 2 cents for anybody who has a friend going through it or is personally going through something.
Lovely.
I know. Okay, so it's the new year.
Yes.
And a bunch of people are either exercising for the first time or getting back into exercise. And like everything, there are trends in fitness. And I don't actually mean, oh, I'm doing this type of workout or that type of workout. I'm actually talking about the location that you work out. There are so many different options.
Yeah.
And it really depends on what your fitness goals are.
Okay.
So I thought I would go over the different possibilities for you. And this way, hopefully, you'll find something that works for you that you can sustain. So there's a lot of different options, right? So, for example, let's say you're uncomfortable being around people.
Yeah.
Or you're better as a lone wolf. Or you don't have time to get to the gym. There are a million reasons, right, why people would work out at home. Or let's say you're traveling, you're in your hotel room. But there are great options for home exercise. Mm-hmm. So if you're that person who's like, I'm just not ready to go to the gym, it intimidates me, or I don't have the time to get there, or get some fitness DVDs, or buy a program. Buy a Body Shred, a Body Revolution, an Insanity, a P90X, whatever. Buy something that's going to meet your needs. And do it at home and follow along. I personally think I like programs for people that are going to consistently work out at home, because you get the variety in a program. You get right. Something that's going to take you through several months of exercise and make sure that, you know, you're not doing the same workout over and over and over again. But it's, you know, if it's a couple $100 and it trains you for 60 days, it's as much as gym memberships in some cases to a good gym. Or it's, I mean, if you think about, you're getting 6 workouts a week from a great personal trainer, whether it's myself or Shanti or what have you, you know, a couple sessions with a personal trainer would cost that, let alone. So there's always the at-home environment. And what I would say is you need a screen.
Mm-hmm.
A screen, you need, in some cases, a DVD player, but, you know, nowadays we're usually streaming things. You can buy these things off of Apple, for goodness sake, off of iTunes workouts now, and stream it. Or you can join a subscription site like fitfusion.com, which is a site that we're a part of that takes everybody from myself, Tara Stiles, all these different trainers, and you pay $9 a month, and you can work out with your favorite trainer at any point, anytime, anywhere, and there's over 260 hours of different workouts on there.
Wow.
So that's also a great solution. So it's $10 a month instead of a crazy gym fee.
Yep.
All right, so that's one option. Another option would be a boutique gym. A lot of people are really getting into these boutique gyms, like Flywheel for spinning.
Oh, okay.
Or Yoga Works for yoga. And that's really what a boutique gym is. Or like there's a
Pilates.
Sure. Pilates Plus is a good one for Pilates. Absolutely. And people, it's now you got to have money because it's expensive. It's like $30 a class. So, you know, I like to take yoga once a week at one of those boutique gyms and a flywheel class every now and again at one of those boutique gyms. But it is expensive. So if you get into things like cycling or Pilates or and you yoga and
TRX,
that's a boutique gym? I don't think so.
Oh, they have TRX at my yoga place.
A TRX gym?
Well, they have they set up TRX in
the
yoga studio.
Oh, a TRX workout at your yoga studio.
Yeah, so have all the things that hang, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so anyway, yeah. So a lot of people really like that environment because it's small, it's intimate, it's class-driven, so you don't have to pay for a personal trainer, but you get the advice of an expert leading you through a workout. So if you have the money for that, because, of course, if you're doing that four times a week, it's costly. It's over $100 a week. If you have the money for it, though, it's a huge trend. People love it. Okay. Big box gyms. So a big box gym or a luxury big box gym is going to be something like a Lifetime Fitness. Well, they're actually more of like a when I visited Lifetime Fitness about Body Shred, they do not call themselves a gym. They're like a wellness destination. I mean, they have a spa and physical therapists and a whole like a restaurant and daycare. It's amazing.
You mean like a Gold's Gym or a...
Well, a luxury facility is what I'll say a luxury facility.
Okay.
So, and you know, that is a luxury facility.
Right.
A Lifetime Fitness is a luxury facility. They're not across, you know, coast to coast, but in Canada, like a Good Life is another example.
Gotcha.
Yep. So that's a luxury facility. And a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people, again, it's probably like $100 a month. But a lot of people love it because of the options it provides. It becomes a one-stop shop. You can take your kids. You can stop and get lunch with your friends after. They also, places like that, will have their own spin class, their own yoga class, their own TRX class. So you can take all those classes and see, you know, within that facility.
And their hours are usually pretty good.
They'll have personal trainers for you. They'll have, you know, it's usually a one-stop shop.
Yep.
So that's another great option. If you've got the $100 a month, and it's going to have everything available to you, whatever you could choose for and hope for, and it's a membership situation. Then there is a regular gym, and that's where you might get into, like, a Gold's.
Okay.
A 24-hour.
Yep.
Which is less expensive and has less options available generally, but you can still do personal, you know, there's usually not a spa there and a physical therapist, and oftentimes they don't offer daycare. But it's still, you know, you could get a trainer for one or two sessions, show you around, take the classes, and it's easier, you know. And another thing that people are doing, like they do discount big box gyms like Planet Fitness, where there's no amenities whatsoever, but it's a facility and it's $10 a month or something like that. So if it can be $10 to $35 a month. It just depends. There's like Anytime Fitness as well. And, you know, if you know what you're doing and you feel comfortable and you just want access to the equipment, it's literally like you're renting the equipment to work out. So that's a good option. And then there's personal training facilities. And these are gyms with just personal trainers. So if you want to hire a personal trainer, then one of the things that I would recommend is going to a personal training facility and meeting with a bunch of the different trainers there and seeing who you resonate with the best.
Right.
So, like, for example, when I trained with the Ass Man, we trained at a personal training facility. We don't train at a gym.
You know, I've always wanted to ask you. I've never known where you've worked out with him. For some reason, always visualized you in, like, gym rat gym.
No, we would train at the Gym on Nemo, which is a little personal training facility, and you know, when I lived in the city. And now we train at a little facility in Malibu that's close to my house when I work out with Dan. Also, last but not least, there are boot camps that people do.
Yes, the boot camps.
Yeah. In fact, Jake just mentioned one. So there are these, you know, military-style boot camps, warrior boot camp, and They're nationwide. There are these boot camps where people will meet at like parks and do these boot camp programs. And it really works for them because it's like a running group. You know, you meet, it's social.
The East Coast of the United States of America and most of Canada right now, you're not meeting in parks.
I know, but it'd be rec centers, though.
Yeah, they just bring it indoors.
Yeah. So try different things. Pick the one that's right for you, for your budget, for your fitness goals, and for, you know, where your head is at, the psychology of, you know, do you like to go to a boutique gym? Do you like that feel? Do you like those luxury facilities? Do you have the money for it? Are you intimidated to go to the gym? And pick a solution that's right for you, and then try different things. But this is going to help people stick with it when they are in the right environment. They're here. New Year's resolutions. Everyone's got one. Get in shape. Be healthier. Get a new job. How about a new job and healthy together by becoming a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. This way, you can do it all. The fitness industry is booming. The demand for personal trainers is soaring. And guess what? You can wake up every day excited to go to work. Not a job where you report to a demanding boss, but a rewarding career that fulfills you. You get paid to stay in shape while helping others reach their fitness goals and their own personal happiest, healthiest life. You set your own hours. You can work in health clubs, sports clinics, corporate wellness, whatever you prefer. You can do what you truly enjoy and get paid for it. So get a head start on 2015 and begin your certification with the National Academy of Sports Medicine now. And if you don't land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of your certification, they will give you your money back, guaranteed. So go to myusatrainer.com for a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. That's myusatrainer.com, myusatrainer.com. Restrictions apply. Visit myusatrainer.com for details. It's between meals. You're hungry. You're in search of an energy boost. But who can stomach yet another tasteless energy bar or a handful of dry, unsalted nuts? You know you're over it. So do what I do and get delicious, wholesome snacks at NatureBox.com. NatureBox offers over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks with zero artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, no trans fats, no high-fructose corn syrup. You'll find snacks with no added sugar. You'll find gluten-free snacks. All of it tastes delicious. So in the afternoon when I'm dying for my treat, I grab the chocolate banana chips. Delicious! And now I want to give you a chance to enjoy NatureBox for free with a trial box that features five of their most popular snacks. Yeah, you heard me. Free snacks, baby. So start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/Jillian. You know you're going to snack, so get smart about it. Go to naturebox.com/Jillian to get your free trial box of delicious snacks today. So Heidi wanted to share with everybody what she's been through.
I didn't want to share. I just said if you want to talk about it, you can.
No, you share it, honey, because I wasn't actually going to share it, but because you thought it was important to share and then I thought it was important to share, I thought you can share.
What happened?
Well, Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
Well, it's quite entertaining, to be honest. I thought it was important to share because I've heard two stories recently about people that got colon cancer when they were really young. And so I had my very first colonoscopy today.
Oh.
Which I don't know if you've done it, Janice, but if
I have done it twice.
Okay. Well, then you know. The prep isn't super fun. And Jillian was awake pretty much all night while I was running to the bathroom back and forth. But, no, I just think they say that 40 now is the new age to start doing it. And I know.
Is it really? But Heidi's not 40, though. She has a family history.
Yeah,
which
I have a family history. So I was supposed to start at 30. I ended up doing it at 34.
Wow, that's so young. Isn't that amazing? Because it was 50. So now they're saying it's 40. And if it's family history, it's 30. Wow.
Yes. But Jillian says she's not doing it.
No way I can do it. No way.
It wasn't that bad. They just give you a shot. You go to sleep. You wake up. You're fine.
No, I can't do it.
Honey, you have to do it.
No, I don't have a history of colon cancer.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You got to do it.
You do it, Jan. Oh, you've done
I've
it.
I've done it. And I woke up and I woke up twice in the middle of it.
Oh, no.
And I watched. What? I watched.
What is wrong with you?
It's fascinating.
No, it's not.
Yes, it has. See someone up there looking around?
Why is it fascinating?
Because it's the inside of your body. It's your colon, and it's all nice and clean and pink, supposedly.
Yeah. I saw pictures.
Yeah.
Ew, God.
So, Heidi, you didn't wake up at all?
No, thank God.
Well, because you're so little. You were probably out.
Dunzo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dunzo Magoo.
I couldn't wake up even after I was supposed to wake up. They're like, okay, let's go. And I couldn't even stand up or walk.
I told you. She's like, Heather, her sister had it done. She's like, and Heather just went right to work. I go, it ain't happening for you. She's like, I'm going to be fine. We're going to go on our date night. I go, babe, it's not going to happen for you. I'm going to wake right up. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I go, oh, okay. And I told you, you never listened to me.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Date night might not
fine.
Be. Yeah, but date night might not be a good idea because sometimes there's a little residual action going on.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat on the date night. We'll go to a movie.
She says she's still going to the number two.
Yeah, you still go.
There was a sound from the bathroom. And it sounded like she had to pee. And she goes, that's not pee. And I was like, oh, poor little stinky. But they found four, didn't they?
They found four polyps and two were precancerous.
Isn't that scary?
Wow.
I was like, well.
So now you're, every 5 years, right? Because they found polyps? Or?
I'm not sure. They didn't tell me, but I'm sure they'll tell me when they call back with all the results and everything.
I think kind of as a general rule now, I think when if they find polyps, you're every five. Just because it's...
Really?
You know, yeah.
You know...
Yeah. But that's... Well, four. That's a lot, Heidi. I mean, that's, you know...
When she was getting pregnant with Phoenix, they found polyps in her uterus and had to remove them all, too.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, here's what I think is kind of interesting. Because I've actually come to terms and I've gotten really good about my, you know, the mammogram and the gynecology thing. And for some reason with this one, I'm like, no. Uh-uh. No. It's just more than I can wrap my head around. But, you know, when they found those four polyps on Heidi this morning, I was like, oh, dear God. All right. Let me think about it. Let me try to psych myself up.
Apparently, sometimes people think it's a hemorrhoid, and it's not. So.
Oh, interesting.
Take note of that. But yeah. It really wasn't so bad. So if you need one, get one. It's not bad at all. The prep is kind of bad, and you kind of don't sleep for a night, but...
Yeah, the prep is nasty. The prep is nasty. You know, I mean, you got to go to the pharmacy. And when I first got my first one, they gave you this gigantic box of something. And everybody knows I'm here for my prescription. You know.
And the one pharmacist yelled to the other one, do we have bowel prep in stock?
I know.
And I was just like, really?
Could you please announce my name, too?
For Heidi Michaels Rhodes. It's going to be having diarrhea all night long and an anal probe. You know how I feel about those anal probes.
I know.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Oh, I forgot that might be the
I am not into these anal probes at all. It's not my thing.
You won't even know.
No,
yes, I will.
You
and those
know.
Oh, yes, the hospital beds have a good... They have good arm rest for the grip. You can wrap your little arm around that bed.
You haven't had one?
No.
See, then how do you know?
But she knows.
But
the
I had surgery,
bits.
And I had to have surgery on the groin area outside the lady bits.
No.
But they cut my underwear off because they told me not to wear them when I went in, and I put them on anyway because I didn't want anyone seeing what was happening, and they cut them off. Well, I was under.
Rude.
I know. So that's I was spread eagle on my back.
Yeah.
For everybody walking by.
See, this also, for me, falls under the category of I am way too famous for a colonoscopy.
No, but the thing
is... I can't have somebody at a dinner party being like, you know what Jillian Michaels' anus looks like? And her colon? Like,
they don't do that. And you're lying on your side.
Yes,
it's
they
very
do.
Very tender. You lie on your side. Right, Heidi? You're on your side, right?
I don't know. I was on my back when I started.
Oh,
They must have flipped me.
No, it's actually very, and they're very lovely. It's,
no. Well, you know, why? No. Now, why would you, what kind of message is that? You
I know. Look, I
time.
Put Heidi on the show so she could tell everybody to do it.
Well.
And I, you know, that's why Heidi wanted to share it with people, so she's sharing it with people.
You know, yeah. Well,
and I laughed and she pooped all night long.
Yeah, you
and
poop
I laughed.
did I laugh?
And it does sound like number one, but it's really number two with a surprise action. It's quite something.
And she woke up and goes, I got this text and she goes, oh my God, the gas. Tell me about the gas, honey.
Oh, honey. Well, it's kind of like just after you have a baby, remember? I couldn't stop then either.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was a lick.
Because they blow air up your bum, and then it comes back out.
What? Jeez.
What do you mean they blow air up your bum?
Not when you have a baby. When you have a colonoscopy.
Oh. Yeah, it's up there. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clean. It's all clean. You're all cleaned out. It's not like they're, you know, going through like the Suez Canal. It's like,
I think they
clean.
Are. No, it's still going poopy shorts.
And like four people asked me, like came in to prep me, whatever. They're like, is it coming out clear? I'm like, yes, it's coming out clear.
Yeah, it's got to come out clear.
But they whisper it like, I don't know.
They're very, it's all very, what do you call it? They're very polite about it because they know it's embarrassing. What's the worst part is in the recovery room when you're all in the recovery room and everybody's tooting.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's like this. It's like, yeah, it's like the whole room's
pressured. Yeah. All right. Oh, boy. I'm so sorry the kids weren't there for that. Lou would love
me
that.
Me too.
Yeah. I've trained the kids to fart on Heidi whenever they have gas.
That's nice.
Lou runs over and gets her every time. Lou goes, I cooked this for you, and lets him rip. And I'm so happy. I just beam with pride.
Yeah. Well, Heidi, I commend you for doing it, and I'm surprised, to be honest, that how young you are. But if you have family history, that makes sense. But,
well, I've heard stories 27 and 43.
Wow.
Of people that died of colon cancer.
Or had it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Early detection is 50% of cancer. Ways to avoid or heal from cancer. 50% is about early detection.
She didn't sleep. That's why she can't find the words.
Yeah.
Well, someone was pooping all night long. Poopy McPooperton. Poopy shorts.
All right.
Poops there. The poopy kids.
Well, glad you survived it all, Heidi.
Oh, thanks.
All right, baby. I love you.
All right. I love you. I'll see you later.
Bye, Poopmeister.
Bye.
Poor little thing.
Yeah, it's an experience, for
it,
sure.
It was so grumpy yesterday, though, because it could have, like, I go, why are you getting up so early? And she's like, the last meal I can have is at 7:30. So, like, she got up, woke us all up, was out eating breakfast, and then she was, like, having bouillon and yellow jello and there was this chicken broth or something, vegetable, I don't know what. Poor little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good for her. She got it done, and now she keeps trying to get me to do it because she just wants to see me. Here's what she's not telling you. She doesn't care if I die of cancer. She wants to see me go through that.
No.
Yes, she does.
Honestly,
it's
not as bad as what you think. It really isn't.
Yes, it is.
The poopy part is, but.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Does it hurt?
No.
No?
No, seriously, I woke up. I woke up both times, and it
No, I mean, just
hurt.
The stomach pains from taking that medicine.
Doesn't hurt.
No?
No, it actually feels kind of good.
Heidi got nauseous from the medicine.
I bet.
Yeah, the medicine made her nauseous.
I was staying over my best friend's house, like, a couple years ago, and his dad had taken it, and in the middle of the night, you just heard this, and we went to see what it was, and he had just passed out, because he had just let it go everywhere so much, and I guess he was so dehydrated that it just...
She was laying in bed, and she's like, I'm so cold. And I was like, cold? It's 74 in here.
Yeah.
And
it was scary.
Sweating. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. But you know, we don't want to intimidate anybody away from doing it. Do it. Because, honestly, that kid eats healthy, and, you know, she takes care of herself. She works out, and she had two precancerous polyps. She's 34 years old.
Well,
so.
Plus, Janice says it feels good, so...
It does.
Janice is the only action she's getting. Okay, of course it feels good. She's like, everybody should try this. She gets her colonoscopy and then goes out into the yard with her fitted jacket and stands over the sprinkler. We all know what's happening with Janice.
Oh,
not a secret. Birchbox is the smartest way to shop for beauty products. Every month, you'll receive a box of 5 beauty samples that are tailored to fit the profile you fill out. Personalized and individualized,
to your personal beauty needs. You get to try products from niche brands, up-and-coming lines, and everything in between risk-free. You can discover all new products that are just right for you, and if you love them, you can purchase the full-size version of your favorites in Birchbox's online shop. The subscription is only $10 a month, and it ships for free every month. So head over to Birchbox.com. Just use the promo code JILLIAN to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription, which is equal to 10 bucks towards any of your new favorite products. And just in time for the new year, Birchbox has teamed up with an all-star panel of nutrition, beauty, and wellness experts to bring you 31 ways to make 2015 your best year yet. Every day is packed with challenges and prizes. Follow Birchbox on Instagram or Twitter, and you can hashtag BirchboxChallenge.com to get in on the fun. To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, sore muscles and occasional injuries are a fact of life. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. I love these things, actually. Become addicted to them. You've never experienced anything like this before, okay? It's cold therapy you use while you're still active. So while you're running, biking, lifting, and you keep your joints and your muscles wrapped up and cool. So it manages inflammation. It's fantastic. They stay in place while they give you recovery benefits to ice therapy. The surprising thing, there is no freezer needed. They're sleek. They fit comfortably. There's no bulky ice. They are reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. So just put Arctic Ease on, and you've instantly targeted cold and compression therapy where you need it the most, before, during, and after exercise. So don't put your training on ice. You know Autumn wrote that one. Don't put your training on ice. It's okay. It's a good one, Autumn. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at a pharmacy near you and get instant cooling relief when and where you need it, or just go to arcticease.com.
All right, we're back. And all the way from Texas, JC wants to talk to you.
All right, JC, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, well, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, relationships are complicated at that. And as we all know, right?
Oh, geez. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And lately, I don't even know who I am. And I feel like I've gotten away from everything that used to be me, that used to define who I am.
Okay.
And, you know, I used to work out an hour and a half a day and, you know, be very, you know, clean with my eating, and just generally my confidence was up. And, you know, there's been a few things that's happened in my life that have, like, been out of my control,
okay,
I guess. And then it's just been, like, a downward spiral from there. And even though things have been, you know, wonderful here and there in the meantime, it's just been, you know, I've lost who I am. I don't even know who I am anymore. And when I think I do, I get a glimpse of her. It's like I reach out to grab it, and it's not there. It's like, okay, it's there for a minute or two or an hour, and then it's gone.
Okay.
And
hold on. First, what has triggered this, we'll call it a journey of self-exploration, this in-between mm-hmm. spaces, so to speak. What has triggered this?
Initially, I lost my sister suddenly.
Oh, God. Well, of course you're feeling this way, but go on.
Lost my sister, started having marital problems, and ended up getting a divorce,
okay.
Which ended up being a great thing because I met, or actually ran into my childhood sweetheart again. He looked me up and just happened to be the right timing, and we got together, and we ended up getting married.
Okay.
A few months ago, which is great, and I'm so in love with him. But in the meantime, I've completely gotten away from everything I am, my individuality, my authentic truth, you name it. It's just been gone. And
tell me, why do you think that is?
Why? I'm so eager to please, like, everyone, and, like, make everybody happy, and, like, my family, and when my mom's having trouble, like, try to, like, and my heart just goes out to her, and I'm like, okay, I got to put my mom up, I got to put my mom up, or my daughter's having issues, and or whatever it is, or, you know, with other people, and it's just, like, I have no, I feel depleted. Like, I have nothing left for me.
Okay,
you know?
So hold on a second. Here's what I am curious about, because I could give you what I would, get into, you know, why you feel, you're clearly codependent, and it, which means that, you know, you've locked your value into other people's happiness and your ability to make them happy, which is a losing battle. But you know, we'll get back to that in a second. What I find interesting is that you told me there was a time when you were able to take care of you, and there was a time when you knew what you wanted, mm-hmm. and then that went away. Mm-hmm. And I can understand it if it went away, you know, because you lost your sister and, you know, the focus shifted and you were caring for your mom and you were dealing with all this stuff. And, you know, then you went through a divorce and it kind of shook you and you were finding yourself again. But it doesn't sound like you left things you didn't like to, you know, and moved through that unknown space of, like, when one door closes, another one opens, and you're kind of, you know, the hallway is hell, that sort of unknown free fall, so to speak. It sounds mm-hmm. like you had something you loved, and you're now unable to do those things, to work out. Like you said, you used to work out, and now you don't. But mm-hmm. but here's what I find interesting. Why were you not being codependent with everybody when you used to work out a short while ago? What was allowing you to say, no, I'm going to the gym then, that isn't allowing you to do that now?
Good question. I guess because I lost my worth in the process. My belief that I'm worth putting the time into.
Why did you lose it?
Good question again. You came up with good ones. I guess I don't feel like there's any time for me.
You did and now you don't. Why?
I don't feel like it's acceptable.
But what changed to make you think that it's not acceptable? It'd be one thing if you always felt it wasn't acceptable, but that wasn't the case. You used to go to the gym. You used to take care of you. What has changed? What was it?
Well, now I am married for the third time.
Okay.
And I am truly in love with this man.
Okay.
We used to be together a long time ago and didn't work out. We're together now. And I guess out of fear, because I am so eager to please, like, more than ever, I want this to work.
You're eager to please him.
Right.
So what's changed is that when you got into this relationship, you stopped taking care of you.
Yeah.
Aha! Aha! Okay, yeah. There you go. All right. So let's go over what you just said. So you've been through a couple of relationships. You've experienced a lot of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And you are feeling fearful that if you don't meet this person's every need and you're not everything that they need, that he's going to abandon you.
Pretty much.
Because you've been abandoned before. And what brought the last relationship to an end?
It was a combination of things. We were together on and off for 20 years, me and my ex-husband, and the passion was gone a long time before, you know, obviously it ended. And I basically stayed with him because I had children with him. You know, it was kind of one of those things where you stay together, you go through whatever, you go through hell, you sacrifice, you put your happiness like dead last, because you're like, well, it's about my kids. And it got to the point where the arguing and the, you know, and the abuse and all this stuff just got too much, to where I was like, you know what?
Okay, but sweetie, you put your happiness dead last then too. So you might have gone to the gym, but you still put your happiness dead last. You stayed in an abusive marriage for a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't new. It's just manifesting differently. You used to go to the gym, but you stayed in something for everyone else but yourself.
Right.
Okay. So you are a classic. Here's the So you're dealing with that classic codependency period. So I don't think, sweetheart, that you've never been yourself. That's not true. You've never been in your truth, or you wouldn't have been in a 20-year marriage that was over for, it sounds like, 15 years of it. You've never been in your truth. That's not in your truth, is it?
Not really, no.
No. So then the reality is that you've never gotten to that place, and it's starting to hit you now, because now you're like, wait a second here. I'm in a new relationship. I love this guy, mm-hmm. and I'm still not happy. And you're not happy because you are going through this thing where you feel like, again, the same thing. You got to meet everyone else's needs but your own. But what happens in these scenarios is that ultimately you're afraid of being left, but you're going to grow resentful. You're going to grow unhappy. This person's going to sense that you're unhappy. And it's going to cause the end of the relationship anyway, which I know is really easy to say,
yeah,
and really easy to comprehend on a cognitive level. But mm-hmm. moving through it and taking action on an emotional level is extremely challenging. But what I want you to understand, what I need you to get, is that if you keep going the way you're going, this is going to end anyway. Okay? Period. End of story. You will manifest the worst case scenario by behaving the way you're behaving. So I want you, when you're taking small steps towards becoming happier, mm-hmm. to appreciate that the worst case scenario will happen if you don't. It's kind of like the fear scenario that I always present to people. You take the mm-hmm. risk, you take the chances, you break out of the comfort zone. It works. Woohoo! The why pays off. And here's your why. Your why is to become a happier, more fulfilled individual that maximizes the quality of the time she's got on this planet. And the benefit of that is you'll be a better role model for your kids. You'll be a better partner to your husband. And quite honestly, you know, whether it triggers your parents, because I don't know the dynamic you have with them, if they gave up their happiness and it makes them look at their lives and whatever. Ultimately,
yeah, my mom stayed with my dad for me.
Okay, yeah. Right. And you did the same thing. And guess yeah. what? You're going to teach your daughter. And if you continue doing this, she's going to do the same thing. And so the truth of the matter is that when you can finally find this place to stand on your own two feet and prioritize your own happiness, you will actually be, whether you can see this or not, because there will be a lot of resistance. When you finally start taking care of you and you've taken care of everyone else for a while, there's always backlash. You know, why?
Yeah.
Always. But what you need to understand is that it would have brought about the worst case scenario anyway. And in time, what you're doing is showing your mom, your daughter, your friends, your family that it's okay. It's okay to make time for you. Instead of being jealous or feeling threatened, they should try it too. Hence the concept of being a trailblazer. You are blazing a trail so that mm-hmm. it will be easier for other people to travel down the same happier and healthier road. And while it's scary and while it's hard, you don't have a choice. Because you do what you want to do, it works out, woohoo. You do what you want to do, it, you know, the worst case scenario happens, you break up, okay, fine, but guess what? You're going to get in a relationship with the fourth person down the road, still being you, and it's going to work out with that person. And the third scenario is you don't do anything, and it breaks up anyway, and you get in another relationship, and that'll break up anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you continue to live like this, you have no choice.
Yeah.
So now you've got your back against the wall, and there's nowhere to go but this leap of faith. So the question then becomes, how are we going to gradually allow you to start building these habits, these behaviors, this sense of self and this sense of worth? And the key is to take small steps, mm-hmm. small steps, and allow them to marinate, own them one step at a time. And the first might be whatever it is, going to the gym. Instead of cooking, you know, whatever it is that's keeping you from the gym for your significant other, you know, babe, I've been feeling kind of down on myself. I'm going to the gym. And if this is not a person that can support that, then the relationship will end. Doesn't matter. It was going to end anyway. And the next person you say, babe, I'm going to go to the gym. And they go, awesome, I'll go with you. Or awesome, have fun, I'll see you when you're back. That's the one.
Gotcha.
That's the one, sweetie. You are going to plant your feet firmly. You're going to assert yourself. You're going to make a list of five things you want to start doing for you. You're going to communicate your needs to your husband. You're going to tell him you need his support. You're going to tell him how to support you. If he doesn't listen, you're going to get into couples therapy. And if he doesn't listen, then it is not a healthy relationship. This is not someone who truly loves you. This is someone who is unable to evolve and change. And then you find somebody new and you will be okay. Okay?
All right.
You can do this. And if you don't, the worst case scenario will happen. There is no choice. You go and you talk to him tonight. You tell him you love him. You tell him what you need. And you tell him how to help.
Okay, I will do that.
All right.
I guess so.
All right, Angel. And then I want a report.
Yeah, JC, okay. We want to email back. Right?
Yeah, okay. We want to know how it's going.
I will give you guys a report. And thank you so much for caring, Janice. Thank you.
Cool. Go do it. Go do it.
I will.
Thanks, JC.
You have my word on that.
Take care.
All right, Angel.
Take care.
That was very good advice.
Of course it was.
Now I have something to say. Since this is the first time we've seen each other since you hated my Secret Santa present.
Oh.
And I think what I'm going to do, though, maybe give it away. Someone who would really like the Walking Dead iPhone case. Someone might want it.
But I do have... Twitter.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
But I do have something for you because you didn't like my...
Oh, crap.
...present. Hang on.
No, I didn't. I hated it.
Hang on.
I walked away with nothing.
Okay, here's
big
one.
Old box of nothing. That's here's what I got from Secret one. Santa. Keep calm. This bitch can party.
Okay.
That's here's a button.
Two.
Keep calm and kiss my ass. Another button.
And here's number three.
Keep calm and poop.
Aww.
That's a winner.
That one's for me.
That
one's keep calm and poop.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a little present for you.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
Here, you can have bitch can party. And I guess I'll keep kiss my ass. I have to take poop. You can have kiss my ass.
You can keep it.
Okay.
It goes with the poop one.
Yeah, I'll put that and poop. I'm going to bring it home.
Yeah, poop.
All right. Well, you've redeemed yourself.
Thank you. And if you would, anyone out there would like an iPhone case that says The Walking Dead.
For a phone that is totally obsolete.
iPhone 5.
That Jillian stomped on.
That Jillian actually, her boot print is still actually on it.
And proved the strength of it.
And proved, exactly. You can, well, just tell me if you want it and I'll give it to you.
Boy, you're going to be flooded with requests, I'm sure.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.